I know the order is different from the movie, but this is not the movie. And I mentioned this morning I had at least one to say to me, you know, that ugly part, that belongs to himself and one other. And I said, well, this is going to be a little different kind of ugly, and it may not be what you want to identify with. And hopefully it's not. The bad, the good, and the ugly. And we're going to be in Jeremiah, and we're going to take a look, first of all, at the bad. We're going to take them in the order that they come, and there's a couple of them that are going to be out of sequence a little bit, and we'll mention those. But Jeremiah 38 is where we're going to begin the reading, but where I actually want us to start is in chapter 37. Jeremiah has been giving God's message, and he has been telling all of Judah what God says about what's going to occur to the city of Judah and what they needed to do, and they were not paying attention, especially the leadership, the priest, and those that were giving advice to the king, and the king, who is now Zedekiah, were not listening to him and not paying any attention to him. Matter of fact, the Bible will state that Zedekiah and all of the leaders and all of the people paid no attention to the word that came from God through the prophet Jeremiah. And we talked this morning a bit about some of the things that Jeremiah was saying and God's two paths for the people in the city of Jerusalem to be able to survive this, to be saved, and to be able to live and eventually come back to God. And very few of them followed that path. The majority of them ignored what Jeremiah was saying and other things. We actually want to start in chapter 37. Jeremiah has already been suffering because of the message that he's delivering for God. He's already been put in the stocks. He's already been beaten and probably other things that are recorded for us all through the book of Jeremiah that he's already been suffering. There comes a point in chapter 37 when he is leaving or trying to leave the city of Jerusalem to go check on his property. And his property is in the neighboring tribe. And so he's going to check on his property. And as he's on his way out of the city gate, one of the guards stops him and says, "You are deserting to the Babylonians." And Jeremiah says, "That's not true. I'm not deserting to the Babylonians at all. I'm going to check on property." And the man says, "You're lying. You're going to escape and go to the Babylonians. I know exactly what you're doing." And so he arrests him and he takes him to a vaulted dungeon. And he puts him in that dungeon, and there Jeremiah stays, the Bible says, for a long time. He stays until the beginning of chapter 38. And at the beginning, or near the end of chapter 37, Zedekiah calls for him. He sends for him so he can talk with him, and he asks him when he comes, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah tells him, "Yeah, there's word from the Lord, and it's not good. Babylonians are going to destroy this city, and the Babylonians are going to take this city captive, and they're going to burn it down, and people here in this city are not going to survive. It's not good." And Jeremiah asks Zedekiah for a favor. He asks Zedekiah, "If you will not send me back to that vaulted dungeon, because if I were to stay in that vaulted dungeon, I will die. And I'm asking you not to put me back into that vaulted dungeon." And Zedekiah agrees, and he has Jeremiah to be taken to the courtyard of the guard, and he's given instructions that there he's to stay, and there he's to be taken care of. Well, that doesn't last long, because in chapter 38, those priests and advisors to King Zedekiah and all of the others are listening to what Jeremiah is preaching to all of the people where he is, to all the people that will pass by and all the people that will listen. And he's telling them, "You only have two choices. If you stay here, you're going to die. If you'll surrender to the Babylonians, you're going to live." And so those officials in verse 4 come to King Zedekiah and said, this man needs to be put to death. He needs to be put to death because he's discouraging all the soldiers that are left in the city. He's discouraging all the people that are listening to him. He is not seeking the good of this people. He's seeking their harm, and he needs to be put to death. And Zedekiah is one of the guys we're going to put under the ugly category. And when I say the ugly category, I mean it in this way. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where he stands. It just depends on who's talking to him in his ear right now as to which way he's going to go. He's not one that's reliable for either side. He's not faithful to God. Even though there's a part of him that wants to be, but he's not going to be. Especially if other people are in disagreement with him. And I put him in that ugly category. We would come close to calling it hypocrisy. Where in one side of your mouth and with one group of people, you're pretending you belong to God. And you're concerned about what God wants and you're interested in following God. But then on the other hand, you're not at all. And you will not do what God wants you to do at all. So here he is, Zedekiah, and he's just released Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has begged him not to allow him to be put back into that vaulted dungeon. Well, there's a cistern in the place where he is, and it's a cistern that no longer has any water in it. And so they lower Jeremiah when Zedekiah says, he's in your hands, you do whatever you want to with him. Then those men take him, and they put him down in that cistern. And he sinks down into the mud. And that's where they leave him for a while. There's a reason he's set free. We'll get to it in a minute. The bad. They don't listen to what God says at all. They have no concern for what God says. They are not interested in what God says. Especially if it disagrees with them. The good. He's in chapter 38. He sees what's happened to Jeremiah. And he sees that Jeremiah is in this cistern. And he's there and he is going to die if something isn't done. His name is in verse 10 and it's Ebed-Melech. And he's a Cushite according to the NIV. Other translations will say he's an Ethiopian. And this is another one of those famous Ethiopians that we read about in the Bible. And this is one of them. This is the good guy. He understands that the king is sitting at the Benjamin gate, sitting there making his rulings. And so Ebed-Melech goes to the king and he says to him in verse 9, my lord the king, these men have acted wickedly. In all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, they have thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city. And that's not going to be very long. By the end of this seizure that Babylonians are putting against the city of Jerusalem, it comes to the point where the Bible says there's not a crumb left. There's not anything to eat left in the entire city. And Jeremiah, when he was set free by, what he's told is King Zedekiah says to take care of him and to give him what he needs and to give him a loaf of bread every day. But that doesn't last long. And probably getting a loaf of bread every day for Jeremiah is more than other people in the city are able to come by and able to get. But he's taken care of for a while. So this is what Ebed-Melech does. In verse 11, the king has already told him, take 30 men with you and go set him free. So he takes 30 men with him and he goes down into some of the lower rooms and he finds some rags and some pieces of cloth and he finds some ropes. And he takes those to the cistern and he tosses the cloth down and tells Jeremiah to put it under his arms. Then to wrap it around the rope, and he throws the rope down and tells Jeremiah to put it underneath his arms. And they pull him up out of the mud. Depending on how deep the mud was, and how far down he was in it would have been a task that would have taken several. And so he has 30 men with him, and they pull Jeremiah up out of that cistern. And Jeremiah remained then in the courtyard of the guards until Jerusalem falls. God speaks to this Ethiopian. And when he speaks to this Ethiopian, it's in chapter 39, verses 11 through 18. And actually, there's somebody else here that's a little surprising from the standpoint of being good. So I want to read, starting with verse 11, and we're going down through verse 18, to where God again talks about the Ethiopian. But in verse 11, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had given these orders about Jeremiah. It's fascinating. How did Nebuchadnezzar come to know the name Jeremiah? What had he been told by the people who came out? What questions did he ask? What inquiries did he or his men ask about what was going on inside of the city? And the word being told to the king. There's a prophet of God there is telling the people to come out and surrender to you. That God has said it's the only way they'll be able to live. And surely that word came to the ears of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar gave these orders regarding Jeremiah. And he gave them to Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard. And it says, you take him, Jeremiah, and you look after him. Don't harm him, but do for him whatever he asks. So Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, Nebushazban, I hope that's right. Nebushazban, a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon sent and had Jeremiah taken out of the courtyard of the guard. They turned him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him back to his home. So he remained among his own people. That name, Gedaliah, is an important name. Because when Nebuchadnezzar captures the city of Jerusalem, this Gedaliah is the man he makes governor. And so Jeremiah is now going to live in the home of the governor and to be taken care of. And when Jerusalem is finally captured, the leaders that are mentioned here come to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, you go wherever you want to go. We will give you supplies. We will give you what you need. If you want to stay here, we'll give you what you need in order to live here. If you want to go to Egypt, we'll give you what you need in order to go there. If you want to go anywhere in the world, if you want to come to Babylon, we'll take care of you in Babylon. And we'll provide you with everything that you need. Where you go is your choice. Where you go is up to you. And so these men of Babylon have a respect and an honor for this man for possibly different reasons. And it may help to kind of set the stage for the way they honor four other young men when they get back to their home country and they come face to face with Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And there's something good here. And I think we get a little hint of that with all the wickedness. There's something about Nebuchadnezzar where God, at least for a while, and at least at certain times, had his attention and had his ear. But God comes back in verse 15, and this is what he's going to say with regard to that Ethiopian. While Jeremiah had been confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to Jeremiah, go tell Ebed-Melech the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I'm about to fulfill my words against this city, words concerning disaster, not prosperity. At that time they will be fulfilled before your eyes, but I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hands of those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life because you trust in me, declares the Lord. God always recognizes when the individual believes God and believes what God says and works to honor God and to serve God's people. And that's what this Ethiopian did. And he is one of the good ones. Jeremiah, of course, would be included in this, but we're talking about Jeremiah all the way through. And so we have the bad. They paid no attention to God. None whatsoever. Then you have the good. We've already looked at one ugly one, Zedekiah. He would be kind of a guy that if you were around him, he would drive you crazy. Because you never could count on him, you never could depend on him. He was so wishy-washy, it depended on who he was around as to what he would say and the direction that he would go. He would never stand firm on what he knew to be right, but he would give in to whatever was around him. And then we have another kind of ugly. And it's one that we also need to watch out for. I've already got Zedekiah up there. We've looked at him. This is a man by the name of Johanan. And it covers three chapters. It covers chapter 41, 42, and 43. And I want to tell you the story. We're not going to read it all. I want to tell you the story. And if you've read all of this, then you've seen it. But we'll kind of pull it together. Gedaliah was the governor appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. If you want to see his name, if you'll look in verse 16, there's the name Gedaliah. And he had been the one appointed as governor over Jerusalem and over that territory by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was doing a good job. All the people that were scattered all over the place, and there were a lot of them. A lot of the soldiers had escaped from the city of Jerusalem in the time when Zedekiah was trying to escape, but he was captured. But a lot of the soldiers escaped, and they were roaming around in different places trying to hide from the Babylonian army. And when they found out and realized that Gedaliah was the governor, everybody that was scattered started making their way toward Gedaliah. And when they would come, Gedaliah would say, "We're going to stay here. We're going to make our life again. We're going to start building our life again. You don't need to worry about the Babylonians. They're not going to come here to do us any harm. They're going to even provide for us the things that we need. And they have appointed me to be the representative between here and there. And I'm telling you that we will be safe and we will stay here in this territory and we will be protected by the Babylonians." And that was going to be true. That was going to be correct. But there's another man that enters the picture, and his name is given in the first part of chapter 41. His name is Ishmael. He's one of the soldiers that's out and about. He also joins forces for a little bit with Johanan, who's also one of the soldiers. But Johanan finds out something about this man, Ishmael. And when he finds out about it, he goes to the governor and he tells him, "That man has a contract on your life. That man has been appointed by the ruler of another territory to kill you. And if you're not careful, he's going to kill you." Gedaliah didn't believe him. Gedaliah told him, "I don't believe that's true because I know Ishmael. I know him, and I don't believe at all that what you're telling me is the truth." Well, there came a time when Ishmael, along with some of his men, came in to have a meal with Gedaliah. When they came in to have that meal, Ishmael and his men jumped on him and killed him right on the spot, just like Johanan had said was going to happen. They kept it quiet. They threw his body, Gedaliah's body, into a cistern. And there was a group of other men that came into the town because of hearing about the safety that was there. And they came in bringing supplies and were coming to the king. When they came in, Ishmael and his men killed all of them but a few. Because those few said, "Hey, we've got supplies hidden out. And we can take it and show you where they are. And it'll be enough for a lot of people to have the things that they need for a little while. And so if you don't kill us, we'll show you where the supplies are. So they didn't kill that small group, but they killed the others. And they threw their bodies into the cistern, where the Bible will tell us he filled that cistern up with dead bodies. This man did. Johanan found out what was going on. And Johanan and his men went to pursue Ishmael, who by that time had captured some other people who were with him. When the captives saw Johanan coming, they rejoiced. And they were going to join forces with Johanan in order to defeat Ishmael. But Ishmael and a few of his men escaped, and they fled to another country. Johanan and his men come back to Jeremiah. And when they come back to Jeremiah, Johanan and his men say to him, "We want you to pray to God for us. And here's what we want you to ask God for. Ask God, what should we do? Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to do? And whatever God says, we will do it. Whatever God says for us to do, that is exactly what we will do." So, Jeremiah said, "I'll pray that prayer for you. Come back in 10 days. In 10 days, they come back. And when they come back, Jeremiah tells them exactly what God has said, and he tells them this. God says for you to stay here. God says for you not to go to Egypt, but for you to stay right here, live in this land, you'll be protected and you will live. But if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. If you go to Egypt, you're going to be destroyed. If you go to Egypt, God is going to bring Babylon there, and you are going to have all the things you think you're trying to escape from by going to Egypt. It will not work." And Jeremiah then indicates God already knows you want to go to Egypt. God already knows that's what your heart's on. That's what your desire is. And God is telling you, don't say to yourself, "We will go to Egypt." Because if you stay here, you will be safe, you will be protected, and you will prosper. But if you go to Egypt, you will be destroyed. So guess what this ugly Johanan did? Not only him, but also the leaders that were with him. If you look in chapter 43, as soon as Jeremiah had finished saying this, well, as a matter of fact, start with verse 1. When Jeremiah had finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, everything the Lord had sent him to tell them, Azariah, son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, "You're lying." They had just said 10 days ago, "Whatever God tells you, whether it's good or bad, we'll listen to God, we'll do it. Whatever God says for us to do, we will have God to be our witness that we will do exactly what God says for us to do." And when God's message came to them, and it wasn't what they had in mind, and it wasn't what they wanted to do, and it wasn't what they had planned, they said to Jeremiah, "You're a liar." And they wouldn't listen to him. So they gathered all the people up. They gathered Jeremiah. They gathered his scribe, Baruch. And they took all of them with them to Egypt. They all went to Egypt. As soon as they got to Egypt, they got inside of the palace. God says to Jeremiah, "Take some stones, dig a hole in the pavement, put those stones in that pavement and cover it over. And then you tell Johanan this, on this very place where I have put these stones, Nebuchadnezzar will set his throne. And on this very place where I have set these stones, Nebuchadnezzar will raise a canopy to cover his throne. And then you will see Nebuchadnezzar, the man you feared, the man you were trying to run from, the man you went to Egypt to get away from, will come to where you are and he will destroy you. That's the ugly. The guy who says, oh yeah, I love God, I believe in God, just tell me whatever God wants me to do. And then turn around and say, you're lying whenever you tell them what God says. And to me, that is the ugly. That's the hardest one to deal with. It's the hardest one because the other guy, you know exactly where he's standing. It almost helps me to understand why the Bible will tell us when Jesus writes to the church at Laodicea, I wish you were hot or cold. But because you're neither hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It almost makes you understand a little bit about that. Because you know the bad. You know you can't trust them. You know that they're bad and they're going to be bad. And if there's anything coming out kind of flattering from their lips, you know, uh-oh, don't believe a word they're saying. But it's the ugly that you never know exactly who they are or where they're coming from until sometimes it's too late and you may be already caught up with them and caught up in it. Main thing is, listen to God. Pay attention to Him. Follow Him no matter what anybody else is saying, which is what Jeremiah did and which is what the good ones do and what Jeremiah was trying to get all the people to do there. You'll be happy to know we're done with Jeremiah, except for the book of Lamentations, but you'll be done with it in 2 days. But then you get to the book of Ezekiel, and you ain't seen nothing yet till we get to the book of Ezekiel. But it's a great book, just different. I'm going to offer the invitation. There's someone here tonight who's ready to become a Christian. Someone here tonight who's ready to put on Christ, be baptized into Him, and turn your life over to Him. Someone who needs to come home to Christ. We'll offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.